I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, it's Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Brian brought us, but right now, one of our favorite NBA guests of all time. We even dug up part of his old intro, and it go a little something like this.
Check him out, y'all. Yo, his name's Mark Stein with a basketball brain that'll blow your mind. He came to spit facts and lay it on the line and punch you in the face with his daily dime.
Bam! There it is. A blast from the past. Joining us now, the greatest NBA writer in all the land, the magnificent Mark Stein. How you doing, Mark?
Wow, I'm already emotional.
Hey, listen, I didn't tell you this. I probably should have mentioned this. Skin is on vacation. He's in Hawaii. All right, so it's just me today. You got my man KT and Shippy are here with me, but we got so much to talk to you about. It's a massive anniversary, the seven-year anniversary of the Mavs winning the championship in 2011. So we got a lot to talk to you about. But first and foremost, dude, it's great to be reunited with you. We haven't been able to talk to you in a long time. Finally, we are able to because we no longer work at competitors. There's no non-compete here involved. So let's talk about where you are now. You're with the New York Times. How's the new gig going?
I'm the luckiest man in the world, my man.
How so?
It's a wonderful, wonderful operation, and it's kind of I'm an old newspaper geek, man, and I'm one of those guys that even in recent years, just if I had the good fortune of just picking up a crisp New York Times, like, that makes me giddy. So to actually see my stories in there, it's quite surreal.
Well, that's awesome. Now, I've got to admit, when I read your work from a couple days ago, it's from newyorktimes.com. I hope that's okay.
That's very okay.
Okay. So I saw that you kind of, you know, there's a lot, of course, the LeBron speculation is going to happen for the next 3 weeks or whatever. But I saw you kind of threw out the wrinkle that maybe Chris Paul could be a part of the mix here if LeBron tried to go maybe not to Houston, maybe to somewhere else, that Chris Paul could possibly be in the mix. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think it's pretty well established that if LeBron is going to leave Cleveland, it's because he wants to team up with a Paul George, a Chris Paul, a Kawhi Leonard, at least one player of that ilk. And some people might say, well, hold on a second. Chris Paul doesn't really belong in the same sentence with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And obviously he's a much older player, and, you know, losing him to injury the way Houston did, I'm sure that would set off alarm bells in some corners. But you have to understand that LeBron James and Chris Paul are virtually family. They are that close. So I think it's a fairly safe assumption that these guys have been talking to figure out, is Houston any kind of fit? Is going to another team any kind of fit? I think that's what these next 3 weeks are going to be about for LeBron James. He makes it clear that during the season, when we try to ask him about free agency, he doesn't want to think about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. But these finals just ended. It's the earliest end of the final since, I want to say, 1986. When I was in high school, and I don't even want to know what Ben Rogers was doing. But so he's got 3 meaty weeks here to get on the phone with the Chris Pauls and the Paul Georges of the world and see if there is any teaming up that can be done that makes sense. So I don't necessarily think that means Houston's at the top of the list, but you have to know that if they haven't already, I have to believe these guys have been talking already. But it's certainly going to happen now, and they're going to compare notes. And, you know, look, this is the player power era, and these guys, they have the leverage. They should have the leverage. They deserve to use it, and they're going to use it.
We are talking to the great Mark Stein, a guy who's taught us a hell of a lot, taught me how to do this job with class and integrity. I've kind of ruined that, but I mean, you at least tried to teach me that. But I have tremendous respect for you in your entire journey, and you taking the time to take us under your wing a long, long time ago. And to that end, man, it was a lot of fun to kind of go on the Dirk journey with you from the very beginning. And you had an incredible relationship with Dirk and still do. And so nobody had a better perspective, or few people on the planet did, in terms of understanding what that championship meant for Dirk in 2011. And so for today to be the seven-year anniversary of that, to see what's going on with teams in the league, with super teams and whatnot, I'd just love to get some perspective from you on, you know, what comes to mind when you think about the big German hoisting that trophy 7 years ago.
I mean, life-changing doesn't even begin to describe it for him, because let's face it, it's been 7 years, and seven hard years, and seven long years. I think in some ways, all this time since has been so difficult for this franchise. In some ways, it's even harder than the journey was to get there, because throughout the run to the championship, the Mavs were a 50-win team almost every season. They made one finals, where they obviously blew the 2-0 lead against Miami, but they had a lot of good years and a lot of highs, and they were on the way up. So as heartbreaking as it was for them and diehards like you to deal with playoff disappointment after playoff disappointment, you know, they were in the mix. You know, these last seven, you know, seven years now have not, you know, have been hard. But you see all these pictures floating around Twitter today, and you remember what it was like to be there. And just for his legacy, the peace that it brings and what it secured for him in terms of where he is in the NBA pantheon. I mean, look, for me, he changed his position. He's the best European big man we've ever seen. I mean, he's a revolutionary, and there's not a lot of guys who are able to say that. I mean, in that regard, he and Steph Curry have a lot in common. Steph Curry is a revolutionary, the way he's changed what we think of as how point guards should operate, what constitutes a good shot. But Dirk did that in terms of becoming a face-up four who can go all the way out to the three-point line. He legitimately changed the way the power forward position is played. And to have a championship to go with it, to secure his legacy, I just have to believe that every day it gives him a lot of peace, even though, again, these last 7 years haven't been the funnest.
I'm a Mavs homer, obviously, and I think about that run, beating Portland and then the sweep of the Lakers and then beating that Oklahoma City team with KD, Westbrook, and James Harden all on the same team. I see that as the greatest run of all time. Do you think that run is respected enough on a national level?
Probably not. I think it's probably just not thought of that often anymore, because since then you had the Heatles winning a couple, you had the Spurs losing to them in such devastating fashion, and then winning the rematch in such stunning fashion because they just completely dissembled the Heat. And then, you know, what we've seen in the years since with the Warriors, that the reality is people aren't talking that much about 2011. But this is my 25th season coming in, covering the league, and I was a diehard NBA fan long before that, going all the way back to the late 70s. For me, Dirk and Hakeem are really the guy. They were one superstar guys. They were the one superstar construction guys who took their teams to a title. But in both cases, you have to say about Hakeem's first Rockets team, and you have to say it about Dirk's Mavs team. The role players around them were really, really good role players. Kidd, Marion, Peja, these guys were all all-stars at various points in their career. So it's kind of funny the way it works out. I think as time goes on, people make it sound like Dirk was playing with, you know, Ben and Skin and, you know, two other guys they found at the Y. I mean, that's really not, you know, that team was a lot better than that.
So we're talking to the great Mark Stein here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. And, you know, not everybody gets a chance to get to know Dirk up close, and certainly not everybody gets a chance to know him as well as you do. What would you say is Dirk's personality for those that haven't really got a chance to know him up close? When you see him, you know, not being guarded, not at a podium, just being himself around his teammates or on the floor, talking trash, what is Dirk really like?
You know, when I first went to Germany to see him, everybody said that he was kind of the team jokester. And in those days, you really couldn't see it, especially when he first got to Dallas, because, I mean, he never let us see that side. But I think as time has gone on, we've all kind of seen that. And, you know, you guys have him on before he plays before he does the Heroes game. And I think now he's just so comfortable that he does let everybody kind of see that side of him in interviews. But, you know, to me, he just wants to win. I mean, as cliche as that sounds, I really think that matters to him more than anything. Just wanting to win, play the right way. I really don't think he cares. You know, he cares about himself as little as any superstar ever has. I mean, that's probably one of the best things you could say about him.
Okay, so we know the Mavs pick at number 5. I'm going to just narrow it down to 2 players and just kind of say, who do you think they would like more at this point, Mo Bamba or Michael Porter Jr.?
I have to confess, I don't know. I am not a draft obsessive reporter. I never have been. And to me, it's also a little bit too soon. I don't think at this early stage in June that they know. I think they're still looking at everyone. And it's probably too soon in the process. I know that's not the answer you guys want. I know you want me to say, yes, it's Bamba, but I don't think you can make that. I don't think they, if you had Cuban on here hooked up to a lie detector, I don't think he would be able to tell you who it is yet. I mean, it's too soon for them to know.
Do you,
who do you want?
Who do you want, KT?
I mean, I want Bamba, but I'm just going off everything Skin says every day, and he's in Hawaii, so I think playing golf with Don Nelson today. So who knows what he's into. But, yeah, Mo Bamba for me. Yeah, I guess. I don't care.
So I got a question for you guys. This is important stuff. Yesterday I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he and Brian Curtis, and Brian Curtis has some Dallas roots. They were talking about Dirk's place on the Dallas Mount Rushmore, and they were listing all these Cowboys. Now, look, I've been here 21 years. I'm obviously biased. I'm an NBA reporter, and I've covered Dirk that whole time. But to me, Dirk is number one. I think all the great Cowboys, and there's been, you know, we could go through 10. Don't they all kind of cancel each other out? I mean, who is more synonymous with sports in this city's history than him?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a great conversation. I mean, he's definitely up there. But, you know, I think you got to thank Staubach and Aikman, and you got to thank Emmitt Smith and Tom Landry. You know, there's a lot of guys.
Those are exactly the 4 I would have named, but again, can you put any one of them over Nowitzki?
Nope. I think they need to honor him with a full Dirk one-legged fadeaway skyscraper right downtown. That's the one. I mean, it stands out above anything you could come up with the Rangers, whether it was Nolan or Michael Young or whatever, or anyone with the Cowboys. I think you're spot on with the Cowboys. I think Mike Madonna's guy. But
Cowboys, I'm not that stupid. The Cowboys are religion here. I get that. But I think it's just they've had so many different stars over the course of their history. How do you say Tom Landry is the number one most important person in the Cowboys history? Like, again, I'm not smart enough to solve that debate, but I was –
No,
I was curious what you more objective guys would have to say than me.
No, I think that's a great question, and it's true, the Cowboys canceling each other out. There is no one Cowboy that you would say is the face of Dallas Cowboys football.
Might be Jerry.
Right. But there is one who you would say is the face of Dallas Mavericks basketball, and that is the big German. Mark, you're the best. Thank you so much for taking the time. We miss you. We're so glad to have you on. So does this mean the floodgates are open and we can have you on more often?
I didn't say that.
Well, Skin's going to be upset that he wasn't here, so you at least got to come on again with Skin.
I will come on one more time.
now you're doing what Dirk did to us.
Or at most.
Dirk gave us once a year. We're looking for at least 2 a year out of you.
Okay, play the song, and I will give you 2 to 3.
Yes, I love it. You got it. 2 or 3 years. Here it is one more time.
Check him out, y'all. Yo, his name's Mark Stein with a basketball brain that'll blow your mind. He came to spit facts and lay it on the line and punch you in the face with his daily dime.
Oh, yes, the daily dime. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon, brother.
Love you guys.
See love you more. There he goes, the great Mark Stein. Now with the New York Times, the best going when it comes to NBA basketball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.